This is the Just Live podcast with Dan and Susie Potter, episode 36.
How does attitude focus your identity?
In this episode, we'll look at the shaping power of attitude.
We begin in 22 seconds.
Live life, see the good days in it, just live.
Your life is a remarkable story and adventure that only you can create.
We exist to motivate and equip you to live fully alive.
Today in this Just Live podcast, we're looking at attitude and the shaping power. We're going to have a look at different areas of our life and the effect of it.
My name is Dan.
My name is Susie.
Together we are Doozy. And we've been looking at this whole area of identity. I think we live in a time where people are searching, who am I? Why do I exist? Yep. Why am I here? When do I show up? All these questions come down to identity. And today we're going to look at the area of attitude.
Attitude is a powerful force that shapes our thoughts, our actions, and ultimately our life. It's the lens through which we see the world, and it has a significant impact on our happiness, success, and overwhelming well-being. Let's think about it a bit more.
Winston Churchill said, "Attitude is the little thing that makes a big difference."
First and foremost, a positive attitude is crucial for maintaining good mental health.
Not just mental health, but also physical health, emotional health, social health, all those things are through the lens of attitude.
For sure. It affects everything. Let's look at mental health. This one is really important for me because I'm working on it all the time. We're in the middle of Momentum Challenge 90, and one of my goals for these 90 days is to have a resilient mindset. And so this mindset and what I do with my mind is really affecting everything. And when I'm mindful of it, it has a positive effect. Studies say that if you have good mental health, you're more resilient to stress and you're better able to handle challenges that comes our way. I am for sure finding this true for me. You're less likely to experience depression and anxiety, which are two of the biggest factors post-COVID that all of us are dealing with. And if you have good mental health because of your attitude, you're more likely to have a sense of purpose and meaning in your life. And that makes a difference for everything.
I was reading earlier, there's this guy called Walter Scott, and he was talking about ability, but how for success, our attitude is equally as important as our ability. And when we think of ability, many times we think of those physical things, what you're actually able to do. And attitude has so much to do with physical health. Literally, if you are able to live with a positive attitude, where you can see everything, you bring everything through that lens of it's going to be okay or it is okay, it will decrease your chances of getting cardiovascular disease. Mm-hmm. It'll actually improve your immunity system, and it gives longer life. The life expectancy of a person with a positive attitude is far greater than the one that has some stinking thinking.
That's right. But how do we cultivate a positive attitude? It starts with our thoughts, yes, so that mental health and that resiliency is important. But our thoughts also have a powerful influence on our emotions and our behavior. So it's really important to be mindful of the kind of thoughts we entertain. Instead of dwelling on negative thoughts, try focusing on the good things in your life and expressing gratitude from them. In our emotional choices, yes, I can think and feel, but every 10 seconds, Dr. Caroline Leaf says, I have the opportunity to choose what I do with those feelings and those thoughts, maybe even those physical sensations. And how I respond is very influential because of the attitude that I'm living with. My perspective influences everything.
So we really looked at how attitude is my thing. It's my mind and my emotions and my body, but it also is a social thing.
Yes,
and this
is
really important that the people that you surround yourself with, you adopt their attitude.
That's
so if you're hanging around with people who are very down or
stinking thinking,
victim mentality, that's contagious.
That's right.
And that will affect our attitude. That will affect our identity. So we have to really look not just inside, not just at our body, but who is surrounding us.
I want to talk about the flip side as well. If you're hanging around positive people, people that are making good choices, people that are loving God, people that are loving people, that have a healthy look on themselves, that's also going to have an influence on us. I also want to just think a minute about our passion. So Dan and I love to invest in the lives of people, and they're not always in a good space when we start coaching them or we start engaging with them. But it is our passion, for example, me, to influence potential through connections. I can see the potential through my social interaction, my engagement with people, my investment in them to be able to have an effect. So I don't limit myself just to positive people. I need to live my fully alive life as I engage with anybody who comes along and see the potential and try to engage with them and make a difference in their lives.
Now, talk about social. I have a dog named Wonka. And Wonka has a great attitude on life. He is just the best dog in the world.
When you say walk, he's a wiggling. He's so excited.
And when we go walk, he looks for things. Mm-hmm. He looks for squirrels. He looks for rabbits. On a good day, maybe a raccoon. He is looking for that. And in our life, what we look for, we'll find. So when I start walking every morning with Wonka on the trail, he's happy-go-lucky until he comes to a few places along the way. He knows there's going to be a rabbit in the bushes.
Rabbit!
He slows down. He hunkers down. His head, his body just goes into stealth mode, and he walks
next to the ground
just silently. And he moves his nose towards these under bushes.
So true.
And the other day when we were walking, he knew there was going to be a rabbit there. I didn't see a rabbit anywhere. And he dove under this bush. Well, there was a rabbit there. The rabbit leaped into the air. I mean, just leaped up.
Straight up.
Almost a meter. Wonka jumped back. Well, when the rabbit landed right on Wonka's head.
Surprise!
Now, at that time, I was cracking up. Wonka was shocked. The rabbit was shocked. The rabbit leaped up again. Wonka looked to the left. The rabbit looked to the right, and they sort of ran in that direction, and it was hilarious. But what you look for, you're going to find, and I think that's what the attitude does. Now, when I'm walking with Wonka every morning, I'm meditating on verses, and right now I'm stuck in the Psalms, Psalm 23.
Yeah,
and
so
when
good.
I think about attitude, the view that is given from Psalm 23 has been so helpful for me.
Me too.
This week. This week has been a week of light because I'm viewing life through this chapter. And I want to just walk through some of the things that I have been discovering as I've walked through this chapter.
So you're saying that soaking in Psalm 23, which is kind of pulls out all these different areas we've been talking about, it's brought light into your life. Is that what you just said?
Yeah, definitely. My mental health, my emotional health, my social health, my physical health, all those things, if I see them through what is being talked about in Psalm 23, it's like, oh yeah. This is good.
So it's transforming your entire attitude, which is having all these really positive effects we've been talking about.
On my identity.
Love that. Why don't we just like jump into Psalm 23?
Okay, I'll interrupt you as you go because I just want to unpack some of the things that I'm seeing that has a direct effect on my attitude.
Okay, so we'll read and pause from Psalm 23. This is from the Bible, the New International Version.
Now, wait, before you start, I need you to put on your sheep mentality. Okay. We're not at this point super sheep. We're just sheep. And
what about sheep do we need to put on?
Well, let's just go through and we'll
okay.
Just grab that as we go through.
So we are sheep.
We are sheep.
All right, that's a perspective. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing.
Now stop right there. This is incredible. If we have the attitude, no matter what happens, come what may, we have a shepherd that is looking after us. We are being taken care of. We don't have to just throw our armor on and we fight in all directions. We have a shepherd. We are sheep. We are in the pasture living. And we can do that because we have a shepherd. And this is so important that we understand because we have a shepherd, we lack Nothing.
Love that.
Wrap your head around that.
What do you lack?
Our stress and everything nothing. That we take on, we lack nothing. Mm-hmm. The other day I was doing a magic show, and I started off the magic show with this incredible trick where I'm having someone read my mind. It's a great trick. And the first thing I do is I pull out this paper that I'm going to write something on, and I reach in my pocket and I pull out my Sharpie marker.
Or so you thought.
And I had the paper in my hand. I had set it up. I had this person ready to guess what was on my mind. I reached into my pocket and there was no Sharpie. Talk about lacking something.
It disappeared.
I had to go to the next trick. I was so flustered. And I think that happens when we lack. But here's the idea. Because we have Jesus as a shepherd of our life, our attitude can always be, hey, wait, I lack nothing.
So one of the basement mentalities that often comes my way that I have to fight against is that I'm not enough. Sometimes I feel like I'm too much, too loud, too extroverted, et cetera, et cetera. But one that has come lately a lot is that I don't have what it takes. And I love this verse, number one, part two. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. I don't lack anything. I really can show up. It really is so meaningful to me. And if I have that as an attitude, wow, I am transformed. Verse two, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters.
Now, this almost seems like the shepherd is not being really nice. You lay down. But it's not that at all.
It's a caring.
In the areas where David was writing this psalm from, there wasn't a lot of grass. And this word actually means new grass. There was a lot of desolate place. There was a lot of rocks. There was a lot of places that sheep don't get fed. Mm-hmm. And what the shepherd would do, he'd come along and he would make them lie down in the place where there is new, fresh grass. And it wasn't just for them to eat while you're laying down. It was like, here is where you can rest. The whole idea is rest. And leading beside quiet waters, especially during certain times of the year, the rivers were running. It was very dangerous for the sheep. And he would take them to a place, or he would create a place next to the river where it was always peaceful water. And so the sheep didn't have to say, oh no, what's going on? Look around me. I need to take care of myself. The sheep didn't even bother with that because they knew the shepherd was thinking of them.
This is a great shepherd. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake.
Refreshes. That word soul is very interesting. It's not the soul that we think of, that thing that lives forever. It's actually the word napheth in Hebrew, which means life. He refreshes my soul. Life, my living, my breathing, my very physical body, he refreshes that and he guides me along the right paths. That refers back to fields in that area. There are paths that take you from grassy area to grassy area. He refreshes my life. He guides us along the right path so we will have what we need.
Yeah, I love this. He refreshes my soul. Who doesn't need a refreshed soul? And many of us have a lot of anxiety about decisions and where I should go and which direction. And I love that the shepherd takes care of this for us. Verse 4, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
I think we live in a time where there is darkness. In my life, when I'm walking, there are things that sort of plague my mind. What's it going to happen? Do I have enough? And this verse is so good for my attitude because it talks about comfort. Mm-hmm. It talks about he is with me. And understand this. If Jesus is with us, do we need anything else? I mean, really, if he is looking after us, and I know this mentality, well, you got to take care of yourself. Well, I don't see the sheep getting around going, you know what? I think we just need to lead ourselves today. I think we need to fight that wolf over there. There is this mentality. There's this attitude that I got the shepherd. Mm-hmm. And I'm comforted in that because he is with me.
So when I think about fear and the first time I realized that I had fear, I was with my dad. I was a young girl. I was with my dad. We were downtown in Detroit. We lived close to the big city, and we were downtown for a conference of a Sunday school conference, I do believe. And I remember walking along this sidewalk where there was a lot of people going both directions. And I saw this person that I knew was not okay. And I had fear. And my dad is he has love language of touch, same as me. So we always walked hand in hand or arm in arm, always gripped one another when we could. And this was one of those times my dad was holding my hand. And
now by okay, you don't mean he was like sick or something. You meant he could have caused you danger.
Well, yeah, I felt afraid.
Yeah,
I felt afraid. There was something not right about him. I don't exactly know because I didn't engage with him, but I felt that fear. And my dad and I were holding hands and he just gripped my hand, pulled me close to him, and we kept walking. And when I hear this part of this verse, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. I picture that. I feel that there was a sense of safety and security and with me. And I love that one of the names of God is Emmanuel, God with us. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows.
Stop right there a second. There is so much here. A shepherd would actually go ahead of the sheep and look at the grassy area, and he would make sure that there were no poisonous plants. He would make sure there wasn't anything in that area that would harm the sheep. And so preparing the table is to understand that Jesus goes ahead of us. And he does things on our behalf that we don't have to worry about. He's there anointing the head with oil. The oil was used as a healing, but also because of the flies and everything, the head was anointed. This is not necessarily anointing someone for like ministry. This is anointing of healing, of protection, almost like an anti
protection from diseases.
Yeah,
right?
An antibiotic, an anti ointment to protect the sheep, no matter what they may find. So far in here, we have everything about the shepherd protecting, but then you get this image of my cup overflows.
I love this
concept. And sometimes there was this situation in the hill country, especially, where there wasn't a lot of water, wasn't a lot of refreshing. There wasn't rivers there. And there's this picture that even in those dry areas, there is a cup. There is thirst quenching, unstoppable.
I love what it says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 about he can do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that's at work within us. I feel like that's a cup overflowing. And I love the overflowing concept as well of when we're generous, given it will be given to you, good measure, running over. This is this overflowing cup mentality that we get to have, not just enough, not just barely above the amount that's needed, but an overflowing, abundant mentality. And verse 6, surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
What kind of attitude is this?
I love it.
Goodness is following me. That's so much different than I'm afraid or I'm a victim or someone is doing something, the conspiracy theory, you know? Surely there is goodness and mercy following me because there is a shepherd. There is someone looking out for me. I do not have to fret. I do not have to fear. And it has a word in there at the end. Dwell.
I really love that word. This
word came so alive to me when I was in Uruguay a few years ago. I was walking along this beach area and I was just thinking about the word dwell. And it was like God showed me this huge rock that was under the water. And it had been there forever, probably since creation. It was dwelling.
Yes.
It wasn't doing anything. Storms came. It stayed there. No matter what happened, it stayed there.
Yes.
It was too big to ever be moved. And it was like God was saying, that's what it means to dwell, to be in a place where you are surrounded by goodness. And when the storms come, when the sun shines, whatever may be, you are there. And to understand that there is a dwelling now and a dwelling into the future, that shakes my attitude into that. It's
going to
be okay. It shakes me into the reality that life is about understanding that my attitude affects my identity, and my attitude can be set on good things because I have a shepherd who is taking care of me. And I just have to say, bah.
I love that concept, dwell as well. And it's kind of a recapping to what we've been talking about here in this episode. I love Psalm 91, verse 1 and 2. This is a set of verses that I memorize oftentimes when my eyes are closed, either in the morning or at night, first or last thoughts of the day. I just soak in this concept. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Where do you dwell? Where do you soak? Where do you stay? My choice is in the shelter of God. And in this picture that we've just been going through in Psalm 23, do you trust in God? Does your attitude, your perspective on life incorporate the space that you're grounded and dwelling in? If so, your attitude is going to have a huge effect in a positive way on your life.
So your attitude sets the trajectory of your life.
Yes.
Your attitude, if you can see your life being held, being protected, being led, being followed, that you can dwell in that, that you can rest. Wow. Do we ever need rest? Our attitude will lead us into rest or away from it.
Yeah.
Is there a lot of anxiety? Is there a lot of stress? That comes from an attitude. Jesus is not just here to get us out of here to go to heaven someday. He is here with us. I would love for you to take a look at Psalm 23. It is a great attitude lens to see the life around us as good because there is a good shepherd.
That's right. So having a positive attitude is crucial for our mental, our physical, our emotional, our spiritual, our social lives. It actually will help us if we cultivate this positive mindset and we surround ourselves with the right people and experiences and ways that we're dwelling. It's going to just curb our negative emotions in a constructive way, and it will help us transform our fully alive lives into a great space.
So may you live fully alive in your attitude.
Yes.
As you love your life, your world, and your God. My name is Dan.
And I'm Susie. Together we are Doozy.
Live fully.
And love fully. Thanks so much for joining us. Check your attitude.
Yeah.